All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And Fanatics CEO Michael Rubin is here in studio with us. And obviously, it's year two of the Fanatics Fest in New York City 2025, which will take place at the Javits Center from June 20th to June 22nd. And a man who I just feel like does not sleep because it's Fanatics Fest, Fanatics Fest, Fanatics Fest, is Michael Rubin. And he's in with us in studio right now. Michael, appreciate it. How you been?
Doing great, man. Well, first of all, I definitely don't sleep enough. And it's Fanatics Fest right now, but if it's not Fanatics Fest, it'll be something else because, you know, I feel like sleep is overrated.
So give me a day in a life of Michael Rubin with your schedule. I know it's untraditional.
I move around a lot. I'm generally up by 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I generally work till 10, 11 o'clock in the night. And then I go to bed exhausted, wake up excited to do it again. So, and at my old age, I got to go to the bathroom a few times in the middle of the night, too. So now I'm trying not to look at my phone now, which is the new habit I'm trying to develop. Because I used to always look at my phone, then it would wake me up for 45 minutes. Now I'm trying to actually stay asleep during those, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
So it's funny. We were just talking about this before you got in. What age do you look at and do you say, okay, that's considered officially old now?
Oh, I'm old, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I said 65. I would not consider you old.
No. I'm 52 and I'm old. But here's the thing. I have the greatest job in the world. I work with the greatest, you know, sports fan. You know, we have 120 million plus sports fans that I'm honored to work with. We work with the best, you know, people who run sports, the best athletes, celebrities, artists. I learn from people every day. So it's like, it's incredible. It's like what I get to do is amazing.
So last year was year one of the Fanatics Fest. Did it meet your expectations? Did it exceed them? Look back at year one.
I think going into Fanatics Fest year one, if I'm being really real about it, like I want to cancel it. Like,
really?
I'm like, this is too hard. Like, it's this is for us. This is about building a connectivity with sports fans, really a give back. I mean, the event lost a lot of money the first year. It'll still lose money this year. It's really about just, like, bringing together every sports property, all the top, you know, athletes, celebrities, artists, and, you know, 100,000-plus sports fans together. And for me, it's a privilege and honor to do that, but it's really hard. You know, like, I used to think maybe we'd do 20 of these. It's like doing one of these is so hard. It's harder than running any of our other businesses because, you know, you're bringing 300 athletes. Look, we have LeBron James, KD, Victor Wembanyama, Kat, James Harden, all the current NFL players, people like Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young, you know, Michael Parsons, we were just talking about, CeeDee Lamb, Tariq Hill, bringing all these players together, you know, Kevin Hart, Jay-Z, Travis Scott, Tom Brady, bringing all these people together. So, like people have to know that I really care, and so that takes a lot of hand-holding to pull it all together. Look, we have an incredible team doing it, but it's a hard thing to pull together.
And let's be real. Any name that you just mentioned, you know, if someone met them, they'd be buzzing, oh, my goodness gracious, I can't believe I just met that person. This is almost me asking you who's your favorite child, but last year, who was the person that it was the most buzz around that Fanatics Fest that person showed up?
There's so many people there's buzz about. I mean, obviously Tom Brady, there's only one of him. He's amazing. You know, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, you know, especially Eli in New York City. KD and Ant with the gold medals from the Olympics last year. Jay-Z, people love seeing Jay. Travis Scott decided we were doing a Q&A with Michael Strahan and he started performing. It was insane. I never seen anything like it before. So there's just so many incredible. I mean, some of the WWE superstars, I mean, watching CM Punk pick up a baby in the air. Someone's baby was insane. I mean, you know, Cody Rhodes is just a fan favorite. So, I mean, there's so many incredible things that happen at Fanatics Fest. And to your point, I think we're going to have 3 times the amount of athletes, celebrities, artists this year versus last year. And last year, you think, like, how do you top that? So that's what makes it so great. In addition, last year we had the NFL, the NBA, baseball, hockey, WWE, and UFC. This year we've added to those 6. We've added Premier League, FIFA, F1, USTA, Nike, Dick's Sporting Goods. On top of that, and so like no one else could convene all these people together. They do incredible activations, and then you bring all the athletes together, all the fans. It's just like so many amazing moments happen. Like the funnest thing for me, the most rewarding thing, is just to watch these incredible moments happen.
Michael Rubin here in studio with us for Fanatics Fest back in New York City for year two, coming up at the Javits Center, June 20th to June 22nd. I'm sure you get 9,000 kids that reach out to you, you know, per day. And I've heard you say that how much you like to give back before. Can you teach networking? Because when I think of people that have just networked to perfection, you got to be right near the top of that list.
Yeah, look, I think everyone has to build to what they're good at, okay? It's well known that I was a terrible student, barely made it out of high school, didn't go to college. I was a terrible athlete.
When did you do a semester at Villanova?
Partial semester. One point eight seven average. Okay. So that's like a partial semester is pretty bad. So, you know, the reality is you got to gravitate to what you're good at. I always had a relatively good communication skills. So I think like in business, people don't realize like relationships are everything. And you know, when times are good, they don't really matter. But when times are bad, relationships are everything. And so nothing goes straight up. Things go wrong. Like, you know, last year we did our first Fanatics Fest. And like we had tons of problems with the lines for autographs and for pictures. And, and like, you know, we take that input and we say, how do we be better? Then we communicate with people. Hey, we screwed that up. It's like you build relationship skills. So it's like, so I think, can you teach that? I think you got to realize it's important. Some people just don't have it. I don't have athletic skills. I don't have scholastic skills. I have relationship skills.
And you know what? Obviously, you want to, someone buys a product. You want to get it to them correct the first time. But mistakes happen in all lines of work. You know, a few years ago, my buddy was turning 30. And we got him a customized jersey, Michigan jersey, for his 30th birthday through Fanatics. And I guess something happened in the shipping where the jersey was a little bit damaged. Now, custom stuff, you usually know that. It's one and done and that's it. You guys instantly, no questions asked, you returned it right away and you sent us a new one. It was great.
Yeah, well, thank you for telling me that. I'll tell you, we get, you know, 99%+ of the orders right. Mm-hmm. But if you ship 40 or 50 million orders in our merchandise business and you get 99% right, you're going to have 400 or 500,000 problems. So for us, the key is how do you deal with each one of those problems? I think we've really got good at that of late. I don't think we were always great. I think it's something we realized, like, look, we want to be beloved by our customers. We are lucky to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we ever let a customer down, it's our responsibility to make it right. And so I think, you know, I took over as the CEO of the company in spring of 2021, and it's now our brand purpose to relentlessly enhance the fan experience in everything we do. And, you know, that's our brand purpose. We take it really seriously. So, you know, why do we do Fanatics Fest? To build a relationship with fans. Why do we, like, sweat every detail? Why do we work so hard? Because we're honored to do what we do, and we realize we screw things up, we make mistakes, but how you deal with those things is really important. I always say to people with me, like, you're going to make mistakes all the time. It's how you deal with those mistakes.
So your story is well-known, and obviously everyone knows who Michael Rubin is today, but the beginnings of the story, I think, is fascinating with the ski shop business. Tell the listening audience that may not know that story about the ski shop business.
Well, you go back to saying I was a terrible student, I was, you know, terrible at sports. Like, I love business, I love working. So for me, I started a ski tuning shop in my parents' basement. I grew up, like, very middle class. Mm-hmm. The house that we grew up in today would be like a $450,000 house. So okay. It wasn't like my family is today, but it wasn't like I wasn't underprivileged. We were, you know, middle class, upper middle class. And, you know, I was lucky. We had space in the basement where I started a little ski tuning shop. And that allowed me to build a real business tuning people's skis. And then a year later, I met somebody who had a ski shop, but had a bunch of excess equipment. And they lent it to me. I did $25,000 at 13 and made 15 grand. And then I opened my first ski shop when I was 14. But the thing with me is, like, I was never afraid to fail. And so, you know, I was 16, I almost went out of business, I almost went bankrupt. Like, I've seen death in its eyes so many times. And, like, to me, I actually enjoy the journey. I enjoy learning. I enjoy growing. Like, I don't, like, nothing, like, I've been the furthest from straight up. I've had so many trials and tribulations, but every one of those is a growing and learning experience.
When did you first realize that life was really changing for Michael Rubin? Not only like, oh, you were just making a little money, but you went from being successful to now the megastar that's sitting here with us today.
I don't think I haven't, because I'm hugely paranoid. And I think our company, you know, today, you know, we're approaching $12 billion in revenue next year and we have 22,000 people. I run it like a startup. Like, I want to have that startup mentality. I want to make sure that we have the paranoia that, you know what, if we don't get better ourselves in everything we do, somebody else is going to get better and take us out. And so, you know, things can change very quickly in business. You need to stay humble. You need to stay paranoid. And so I don't ever celebrate things. I'm like, the second Fanatics Fest is over, we're going to have a Zoom that next morning and say, okay, what's all the things we got wrong? How do we make this better? And so I think when you work 17 hours a day, you do it, you know, 350 days a year, you know, you're either grinding, you know, it's like rise and grind, or you're, you know, the 10, 15 days a year that I, you know, aren't working like that, then, you know, I think I'm actually trying to, like, just relax with my friends, my family, et cetera.
Yeah, and if you ask someone like me who's an outsider to your life, right, I don't know what Michael Rubin's like when he's home or Michael Rubin who he is, you know, from a personal standpoint, but when
I work is the same.
Yeah. I think of you with Fanatics, right? I think of Fanatics Fest, and then also this white party, which I've been following on Instagram for years. Now, I won't ask you for an invite because I know I'm not in that group and media is not allowed at the white party, but How did this white party all come about where it's got to where it is right now?
Yeah, very naturally. You know, I bought a place in the Hamptons in 2000 and I bought it in Christmas of 20, holidays 20, early 21. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine just said, hey, you should do a fun party here. So then we just like said, how do we theme it? And, you know, we just figured it was like summertime, it's the Hamptons, do white. And, you know, like, look, I'm pretty good at curating events. And I think the great thing to curate an event is how do you bring people from different backgrounds together and then, you know, make sure you keep it super tight so that it's really special. And so the first party was pretty incredible in year one. And I think it just took a life of its own. You know, we're now going every other year because this year, you know, I started the Reform Alliance with Jay-Z, Meek Mill, Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. And so we do this casino night, which is this September. And so when I did the white party in 23, and also did the casino night because we did it for the first time in 23. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot do two parties like 3 months. It's gonna break me. So that's when we said we do white party 24, reform 25, white party 26. It's funny, the amount of people have told me I've screwed their summer up. Like they don't know what to do without the white party. But it's coming back July 4th, 2026. And it will be, I mean, it's pretty special. I like you can have too much of a good thing. So like going every other year for me is a great thing.
Well, the craziest thing, right? It's your party. You're hosting the party. It's at your house, right? One year, didn't your wife fall off the stage and had to get rushed to the hospital?
She did.
I remember seeing it online.
Yeah, she did.
Like you're having this party. How the heck do you have to be a husband? How'd you handle that?
Well, to start with, I didn't believe I was turning 50 a couple weeks later. So like Joel Embiid ran up and said, "Hey, you got to go upstairs." You know, Camille got hurt. I'm like,
it's a joke, right?
I'm like, Joe, shut. Like I'm not falling for that. So I was on edge because, like, the last thing I want to do is turn 50. Mm. So I wasn't trying to celebrate that, if I'm keeping it real. So
you know, I was surprised something was happening.
Yeah, so I
you.
Thought everyone was up to no good. And then, after three or four times, I realized, okay, like, I really got to go. This is not, like, a scam.
This is serious, yeah.
Yeah, and look, we're built a little differently. Like, if I fall down like that, I'm just like, give me a shot. Let me get back up and go. If I can stand, I'm like, that's just my personality. Like, yeah. if I'm not knocked out unconscious, you know, she was obviously, she really hurt her neck and she was obviously really worried about it. So I'm like, it was the most complicated mental conversation myself. Like, all my friends here, I want to stay so bad, but it's like, it's my girl. I got to go.
Yeah, you got
to
go
to the hospital. So I went to the hospital. And once they said, like, she's fine, she's good, she just has a concussion, I'm like, babe, I love you. Party's still going. I'm out. I went back to the house. I went and I said, line the shots up and let's go. I remember walking back in and it was shot o'clock, baby. I lost from like midnight till like 2:30, but 2:30 till 5, I put on a good performance.
Were you in the doghouse the next day or was it all good?
No, she understood. Now, she'll tell me her side of the story, it's still debated hotly. Her side of the story is that we just had our daughter Romy. It was it was our second daughter. She just had our second daughter Gemma, and you know, she'd passed out and fainted. My side of the story: she hates alcohol. She doesn't drink. She tries, like, once a year, she tries to be cool and hang with the mm-hmm. boys. And so she had a couple shots, and I think she drank too much. So I'm going with, she drank too much and fell over. She's going with, she passed out from having a baby a few weeks ago. I'm staying strong. She's staying strong. We're never going to agree on this. And we still bicker about it.
You got it. Michael Rubin here with us. Is there one person that you've not been able to get to the white party that you really wanted to get?
No, because the party is really about my friends coming together. It's not about getting anyone to the party. I mean, we say no to so many incredible people because we want to keep it special. We want it to be small. And like last year was the biggest year ever. We had 2024, we had 380 people, and I don't want it to be any bigger than that. So people get, you know, the thing about the white party, it's complicated. You hurt people's feelings, and that's not something I want to do. But like, you know, like the amount of people like, hey, I want to come, I want to bring this person, I want to bring that person. But it's, you know, it started as a 300 person party. It ended as a 380 person party in 24. And when we do it in 26, I want it to be less than 380 people. So there's no one we're trying to get there. It's really just like our friends coming together and having a great time. I think it's about a lot of people that generally are, you know, have to be on edge and just being able to let loose and have a great time. It's a 13 hour party. It starts at 5 p.m. and goes till 6 a.m.
For you, and I've always wondered this, because when I was in Philly, right, you were a part owner of the Sixers. Was that tough to walk away from that?
No, it was easy. And the reason it was easy is, well, like, look, I love Josh Harris. I love Joel Embiid. I love James Harden when I was there. All family to me. The reality is, like, it was in the way of Fanatics growth. And we'd started the Fanatics sports book. We got in the trading card collectibles business. We had deals with individual athletes. All these things are prohibited against league rules. And so it was either keep a small business, small on a relative basis, or really go all in to build Fanatics. And I think we can make Fanatics the most important company in sports. And so for me, I'm a business person at my core, and like I love business, and I'm a student of business, and so I love building. And so, look, I obviously the thing I'm most disappointed about is like when you own a sports team, you have one responsibility: to win a championship. When you don't win the championship, you failed your community. And I was involved from 2011 to 2022, and we never won a championship. We were a perennial second round exiter of the playoffs, and so we failed. And so for me, that hurt me that I didn't get that. You know, like you would have loved to go out on top. I did not. But it was a great experience. I learned a lot. You know, I appreciate all the times. I want to focus my energy on Fanatics.
And obviously, right, I know you still pull for the Sixers, right? Because you know so many people, Embiid and Josh Harris. Are they close, or is this that
let me say, I do pull for the Sixers, but also, like, this is a business. And you say this, like, you know, if one day James Harden wasn't a Sixer anymore, he doesn't care about the Sixers.
Sure.
He cares about the Clippers, okay? You care about the team you're on. So for me, I care about my friends who own teams, my friends who play for teams, the people that were most invested in. So I root for my friends. There are a lot of times you'll see me, I skip a lot of games that I might want to go to because I don't want the awkward of, like, there's two people that were supporting both sides and they're playing against each other. So, you know, it's more complicated than it used to be. So I won't say I have the same, you know, emotion that I used to have.
How about Meek Mill? Because unintentionally, the night where Meek went to the basketball game after getting out of prison.
Yeah.
I'm in the Wells Fargo Center at the game.
That was a crazy night.
Where the media is. When he went onto the court and rang the bell, it was wild and showed up and all that. But I'm in the elevator and they're like, hold the elevator. And here I am, right? A kid that went to Temple, you know, knew Meek Mill, obviously, just in terms of his music. And he would sometimes drive by our frat house and like stand on the corner outside of our frat house and just take like some photos. And it was you and Meek Mill walking into the elevator. And I told my friends, I go, you're not going to believe I was in an elevator with Michael Rubin and Meek Mill. How about that night?
That was, I think, the two most surreal moments in my life was that and sitting next to Robin, Jonathan Kraft, and they came back from 28-3 and no one thought it was possible. And, you know, we spent, you know, Desiree Perez, who's the CEO of Roc Nation, Jay-Z, you know, myself, we spent a tremendous amount of time, energy, resources, because it was so unfair. He went to jail for 2 to 4 years for popping and wheeling on a motorcycle and breaking up a fight in the airport. And it was just wrong. And, you know, he got released by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania 5.5 months into a 2 to 4 year term. And Meek kept telling me he was having dreams about me picking him up in the helicopter, like landing in the prison. And so when they called to tell me that the Supreme Court had ordered his release, I was going to drive up to pick him up right away. He's like, you got to bring the heli. You got to pick me up in the heli. I never thought about the circus we were going to create. So I remember randomly Josh Harris owned the casino next door. Okay. We landed in the parking lot of the casino. He gets out. We get in the helicopter. There's helicopters chasing the helicopter. It was like the craziest, most surreal thing. Then we land. He's in the full jail outfit, the full prison outfit. He comes in, barber shaves his face. He changes his whole outfit, gets cleaned up, and we win. We knock Miami Heat out to advance to the next round of the playoffs. It was absolutely crazy. I mean, it was I'll never forget that. Meek and I sometimes talk about it. Sometimes we're like send the video back to each other. We're still watching. That was the number one most surreal moment in my life. Number two being the, you know, sitting next to Robert and Jonathan, the 28-3 comeback of the Patriots game.
What was that? I was in the building for 28-3. I'm a Patriot fan. I couldn't believe it. But sitting next to the team owners, the moods in that must have been ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, at halftime, you know, half the Bucs left. Everyone thought they left. I remember saying, like, we're not out of this. Let's go. You got Tom Brady as the quarterback. 28-3. I'm like, yeah, this ain't very good. I think they're out of it. And just like once he scored, got to 21-12, you're like, maybe. Then when he got to 21-20, it's the most nervous I ever was in my life because you're thinking, is he going to? All I saw was like 28-26, them losing. Like, because I'm so superstitious, I'm like, he's going to score another touchdown and not get the 2-point conversion. And then once he scored, I'm like, we're winning this game. But it was the craziest thing you'd ever see. I mean, it was absolutely I'll remember that and Meek. Those two things, the most surreal things. I mean, look, I'm supposed to say it was my kids being born, but like, you know what to expect when your kid's being born, okay? There's going to be a baby. This little cute thing's going to come out. Like, you don't expect, you know, to pick Meek up in a helicopter and take him to the Sixers and him to walk in a prison outfit, get shaved up, and us win and go to the next round of the playoffs. You don't expect to have, you know, helicopters chasing you. I didn't think that really happened other than the movies. We were in a movie. You know, you don't think that Tom Brady's going to come back from 28-3 when half the stadium's left already.
That's just wild. All right, I know Fanatics Fest is right around the corner. You got to get back to work. You got 4 hours of work after this to plan for Fanatics Fest?
Minimal. What time is it? 5:20?
Yeah.
I'll go to bed at 11. I got 5 hours and 40 minutes of work left.
So last thing, for people listening that are on the fence, like, why should I go to Fanatics Fest? What would you say to them one more time?
If you're a sports fan, you got to come. I mean, every sport is there. They have crazy activations. Hundreds of athletes walking around the halls. It's just, if you love sports, you're going to love this. Now, by the way, you have to come dressed as a super fan. So we do this thing. It costs nothing to get in. $60 mm-hmm. to get in. It's a very inexpensive ticket. But if you come dressed as a super fan, so like full team uniform,
sure,
head to toes of whatever your favorite athlete is, or just like a crazy super fan outfit, the best parts of the weekend, we're going to send them to the Super Bowl with Fanatics,
wow,
Super Bowl tickets, go to the Fanatics Super Bowl party, impossible to get into. We're going to send them to WrestleMania ringside. We're going to send them to the World Cup final in New York. So that's for the number one person. And then every hour on the hour, we're picking the best dressed person of the hour. We're going to have them go meet one of their favorite athletes that are there. We love creating these experiences. So, like, if you're a sports fan, you can't not love this. Come out, get a ticket, try it. I mean, everyone loved it last year, other than if you waited in some of our screwed up picture and autograph lines. But we got that right this year. I think it's going to be so much better because we learned from our mistakes.
And once again, it's taking place at the Javits Center from June 20th to June 22nd. It's Fanatics Fest, New York City 2025. Michael Rubin, thanks so much for coming on in.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a time out and come on back after these short messages.